Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly? Oh, permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Happy Thursday, everybody. Coming up later on in this hour, Tony Romo is going to join us here on the show. We'll talk football with Tony in approximately 35 minutes from now. Also next hour, Pro Football Hall of Famer Jerome Bettis. The bus rolls through the mothership. So a lot going on this morning here on the show. And we have an in-studio guest, and we are so happy to have her here. Christine Leahy, host of Fair Game on FS1. You've seen her for the last couple of years in American Ninja Warrior as well. She joins us in studio. And we were just talking about Boston last hour because you and I were both working in Boston together. And it is such a different beast. And when people ask me, well, what was that like? It's a complicated question.
Yeah.
Because it is great how much what you say and what you report on matters.
100%.
Everything you say is taken seriously, parsed, picked apart. You'll go somewhere and people will say, I heard what you said on Tuesday, and you're like, wow, you remember exactly the day and the time. But that also can be such a fishbowl. There's such an intensity. You feel like you're never off. I know when I went out, people always wanted to talk about what I said and about sports. And there was never a time where I could just kind of detach and relax. There was no anonymity there.
Yeah.
And
interesting.
Boston is not a huge city. It's a big city, but it's not a huge city. So it's not like you could blend in like New York or LA. And I found it invigorating, but at times exhausting. And I'll always love my time there, but it was like, you can't ever turn it off. It was go, go, go all the time. And then, of course, the teams won a ton, so that ratcheted up everything. What was your experience like? Because you went from Boston to L.A., which is a totally different sports atmosphere.
Yeah, I just remember, you know, I don't think I was recognized as much as you probably were in Boston at the time.
But, I mean, you were doing the Celtics stuff.
Yeah,
were...
I don't know. I think it could also have just, I was really young. So I think people, when they saw me out, they just wanted to say hi and take a picture. They didn't want to pick my brain about sports. Now they do.
Yeah.
So it's actually worse now for me, or great, depending on how you look at it or where you are at the time, if you want to talk about sports. My experience there, though, and I always say, is Boston was an amazing learning experience because I was so young being thrown into that role, and you cannot mess up or you'll never hear the end of it.
Yeah.
So I made the mistakes that I was supposed to be making in Idaho, in Boston, where everyone really, really cares.
Yeah.
So I learned.
Terrifying.
Yeah, it was terrifying. But I got such a thick skin at a really young age. I also bartended in Boston, which totally helps with that.
I didn't realize that. Where'd you bartend?
Oh, yeah. I bartended at The Place, at Gypsy Bar, and this place called Match. It was all kind of part of the same family. But I actually met Steve Levy because he was a partial owner of The Place. And so I would get advice from him career-wise. And then a bunch of the Red Sox. Yeah. And a bunch of the Red Sox would come in to the bars where I was bartending. So I kind of knew them from bartending. And then it worked when I started being an actual reporter. But I got really thick skin. And then I went to LA, which is, you know, a bigger market, but they didn't care as much because in LA you have George Clooney next to you. It's just the sports aren't the biggest thing. They're big, but there's other things.
In Boston, sports are the biggest thing.
Yes. And those athletes are the celebrities, and the TV people or the radio people, those are the celebrities too.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're right. I mean, you develop a thick skin. I mean, certainly on sports talk radio where you are employed to rip people,
yeah.
you know, criticize people and people that don't like being criticized or they have are protective of a certain player or a certain team. I heard it all the time and I still hear it. And I'm certainly better for it because once you hear it a million times, it just rolls off your back at that point, right?
Oh, sure.
Like, oh, I've been shredded before. That's no problem.
I get shredded every day. Like, I mean, go to my comments section anywhere, the things that you read, but you can't let it affect you at all. Like, if you have the time to take to say something mean to someone on the internet, I don't care what you have to say. No.
How do you approach social media? Because this is kind of... it's a daily challenge with mm-hmm. what we do to be interesting and to put yourself out there, but not to open it up too wide for, I'm sure in your world, creepy stuff to happen
yeah.
or also stuff that could compromise you from a professional standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, my dad told me he wanted to get Instagram so he could follow me. I was like, Dad, please.
No, don't do that.
Don't get Instagram. He has it, but I told him, do not read the comment section. But there's a thing on Instagram now that I learned about that you can put certain words in that it won't let it pop up on your feed.
Oh, really?
So, I mean, if I would read to you my list of words that I'm not going to, it's not appropriate
yeah.
for cameras or radio.
Right.
No, I handle it. I've shifted more towards Instagram, honestly, than Twitter. But yeah. I like to share a little bit of like my personality with my quote fans. I feel weird even saying that, but fans. Because I think it just shows and makes them more comfortable with me, and then they can see that transition that like I am who I am in real life, also on TV, and that's important to me. But I don't share everything, so you know my private details, like my relationships and those kinds of things, I keep pretty private.
Yeah, Christine Leahy joins us from Fox Sports One. Is it weird to be in a spot where people that you don't know are writing about your relationship status?
Yeah, very weird. Or I get asked about it like in interviews.
Really?
Yeah, it's so
weird.
It
seems like an inappropriate question to ask in an interview.
I mean, yes and no, because I do it. I, when I'm interviewing athletes, I'll bring up their wives or girlfriends. I do it too. It's part of our lives. I just, like, do you care about who I'm dating? I don't know.
That's weird.
But, no. I guess that just happens. Does anyone ask you about your private life?
Well, I guess when I got married last summer, it became a little bit of a thing. Like, mm-hmm. oh, wow, you got married. Oh, how's marriage? Oh,
it's a thing.
Yeah, that's a thing. But
it makes you you.
But when I was single, I don't think people really asked me that too.
Oh, see, I get asked every day. Are you single? Are you dating someone? Well, who do you date? What's your preference?
Yeah, slightly more desirable, I think, than I was when I was single. But so do you get that from regular like followers on social media, regular people? Or
yeah. Yeah, every day.
And what the idea there is you're going to say, yes, I'm single, or would you like to go out?
I think that might be their intention. I think so.
And you have a chance. I like your profile right
here. No, oh gosh, if I could read to you they're creative. The most creative one, because sliding in the DMs is such a thing now.
Yeah.
And my favorite I just saw the other day was this guy, like random guy, because sometimes I'll just look for fun. And it was a dog emoji, and it said, oh, I'm so sorry, my dog likes to hop into girls' DMs sometimes, but I'm glad he hopped into yours. That was kind of cute. I didn't respond, but I mean, props for effort.
I guess that's
now I'm gonna get a bunch of dog emojis.
You grew up in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
You were a huge Bulls fan
yeah.
of the 90s. Mm-hmm. MJ and those Bulls. Mm-hmm. What were your early memories of being a Bulls fan? What were the teams?
Oh, I had the starter jacket, the red and black Bulls starter jacket.
Nice.
And I was so excited. I wish I had it still because
yeah.
they're making a comeback
yeah.
and they're cool. But that is why I do what I do, is because when I was little, I was my parents' first kid. And so my dad and I used to watch basketball together all the time and go to the United Center and watch. How lucky was I? I got to watch Michael Jordan play growing up. So I just fell in love with basketball. My dad played basketball and was also coached AAU. So I was always very involved in it. And I'll never forget the coolest thing that's happened to me in my career was I was working for the Celtics and they were playing the Bulls in Chicago and I went to go cover the game. And I remember I had a credential on and I was walking into the United Center and I walked past the Michael Jordan statue. I was like, oh my gosh, this is a place I used to go when I was a kid to watch this. And now I'm credentialed walking in past the Michael Jordan statue. That still, to me, was that was my moment. Like, okay, this is really cool.
Do you miss Chicago in the summer?
Yes.
I mean, you can't miss it in January.
No, I do. I actually miss it more. And I love coming to New York in the fall and the winter. I know I'm weird, but I miss...
No, the fall's great around here. Fall's the winter's great. Miserable.
I love it. I love the snow. I miss Chicago. I used to come to New York all the time. I miss the cold. I miss the weather and seasons.
So you miss negative 10 wind chill and snow blowing off of Lake Michigan?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I know.
You're a sicko.
I know. It's weird. But I don't know. I like wearing the warm jackets. You go inside, get your hot chocolate, you know, watch a movie.
So when you were growing up, you never said, man, I can't take this weather.
Never.
Just L.A. just happened to be the best career move, but it wasn't because you wanted to escape cold
weather.
I went
to school in Boston.
I know.
I know. I didn't even apply anywhere that was in the South at all. I was fully content living in the cold. I think, honestly, when I was in Boston, if I would have gotten a really good offer in New York, I would have come here.
Have you ever had a chance to interview LeBron? That's
no.
An interesting
Not
smirk.
Directly. I don't think LeBron likes me very much, but that's okay.
What did you ever do to LeBron?
Well, listen, I criticize LeBron, but I think it's deserved. It's fairly deserved. He's the best player... one or two, maybe, of the best NBA player right now. And I give him credit when it's due, but I also critique him when he deserves it. But remember when he said, and it was years ago, and everyone thought it was crazy, when he's like, I'm the best player in the world right now. And everyone was on him, like, how could you say that? How could you be so egotistical? And I actually defended him. I said, no, he is. And that's such a great feeling to be able to say, I am the best at what I do. But when he goes on and congratulates himself on Instagram before reaching a milestone, I just can't. I can't. It's like, you're the greatest ever. Let people tell you you're the greatest. Also, wait until afterwards so that you can celebrate. Just some stuff like that.
But he's been criticized by a million people. Why is he taking it personally when you do?
I'm not quite sure.
And how do you know that he doesn't you specifically?
I know. But you know what? I take that also as a compliment.
Of course.
Thank you, LeBron, for knowing who I am.
Yeah.
And being familiar with my takes. I give him credit where
Absolutely.
It's due. He's fantastic. He works hard. I admire his business plan. I think what he's doing with Maverick is great. All those things. Just take it down like five notches on the
only
celebration.
Reason I asked you this was because I was going to say, is it going to be weird when you interview him to say, I still believe Michael Jordan is the greatest of all time? Because, of course, as an MJ fan yourself, you'll always believe MJ's number one.
And he is.
And I was wondering if you would ever bring that up to LeBron. But
of course.
Apparently, LeBron won't let you bring that up to him.
I don't think LeBron's coming on my show anytime soon. More than welcome. I would love, let's talk Space Jam. I want to know all about Space Jam. But, yeah, I don't think he's coming on. But I would say to his face that, yeah, Michael Jordan's better. And not in a disrespectful way. It's just, I'm real. I'm going to tell you what I think. And you can disagree with me. And we're all in a happy place.
Well, that is a hot take. You said you didn't like to do hot takes, but that is a hot take.
I know. That's where that Michael Jordan's the best? That's not a hot take. That's just facts. Come on. We don't even need to debate that.
So do you know any other athletes that are upset with your takes?
I think that LeBron's the only one.
I was going to say.
Kobe was mad at me for a second, but we squashed it.
Okay. What? Just because you were a Celtics fan?
No. I said something that he didn't like. But I respect him because we addressed it head on, and it's squashed, and we're cool.
Can you tell us what he didn't like?
No.
Okay. Did you say it on the radio?
Yes.
Okay.
And listen, I told him. I said, this is why I said it. This is why I felt it. I still feel that way. But I hear where you're coming from, and, you know, and he's like, I get that.
Well, look, cool. You have great company here when the people that dislike you are LeBron and Kobe. I
mean, no, Kobe doesn't dislike me.
Well, the two people that had beefs of what you've said are two of the greatest basketball players ever.
Is that great or horrible?
It's great.
I think, wouldn't it be better if it was like low man on the roster and they don't like me?
No.
Instead, I've got these two guys who have issues.
No, if it's G League guys that don't like you and like Birdman, that's not cool, okay? But it's LeBron.
If Birdman didn't like me, I'd be upset. I like Birdman a lot. I really like Birdman.
Are you fired up for the Clippers to now be unbelievably interesting?
How exciting is that? And
LA
also,
basketball.
Hey, Doc Rivers.
Seriously.
Like, good job.
Yeah, right.
I'm happy for them. And it's so funny. Doc was actually one of my first guests when I started shooting Fair Game. I was so thankful that he did the show, and he was really honest about trading Austin, his son, away. And remember when he was leaving the Celtics, he didn't want to rebuild. And then look at what he's done with the Clippers.
Yeah.
And now he gets Kawhi and Paul George. I'm so excited. Because it used to be that you would go to Clippers games to see the visiting team play.
Right.
Not for the Clippers.
Yeah.
And then they had a while with DeAndre and Blake and Chris Paul. Then it was quiet again. But no, I'm really excited. Like, Clippers-Lakers games are going to be huge.
Oh, my gosh. And the fact that the Clippers and the Lakers are arguably the two best teams of the Western Conference, so they could end up battling for, you know, the spot of the NBA Finals.
That would be very convenient for the media.
Very convenient
to not have to travel. They could just park themselves in L.A. Oh, you don't think Houston?
I don't know how Russell and James Harden end up coexisting. And I've already seen them flame out a million times, so I don't know if I'm convinced they're not going to flame out.
You know Russell Westbrook's my favorite player.
Is he?
He is.
Favorite player.
I tell that he is not yours.
I don't dislike Russell Westbrook, but I'm surprised
him.
That he's your favorite.
I love
because
him.
There's better players of the NBA, but do you love his personality?
I do. I just like his swag. He just does what he wants to do and doesn't care. And aside, he was a little disrespectful to some people this year, but other than that, I just like how he does his thing and he doesn't care. And listen, to be in OKC for that long and stick it out and do what he did and have everyone else around him leave, and he just took so much of the heat for that, which some of it I think was guys didn't like playing with him on the court, but others, it's OKC. They don't want to live there.
Give me, before we let you go, your breakdown of his fashion sense.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. He once wore a pink Sherpa jacket into a game, and I found it. It was from Urban Outfitters for like $90. So I tweeted it out. Like, go get Russell Westbrook's jacket from Urban Outfitters. Because they always, all the athletes want to say, oh, I'm really into fashion. It's a different thing when you say you're into fashion because you can go out and buy Louis Vuitton and make it look cool. It's another when you can go get cheaper stuff and make it look high-end. That's when you're really good at it.
So that is the lesson to live by and to learn by.
Yes. If you can take me to Target and make me look fly, then you have a good fashion sense. It's true.
That is awesome. What do you know what episodes are going to be running here upcoming?
I do. Let me tell you.
Let us know.
I took a screenshot because I knew you were going to ask me that question.
Fair Game on FS1 airs 5:30 Eastern time.
So, okay. This is actually a really interesting lineup. So Monday we have Ephraim Salaam, which is actually a really good conversation. We talked a lot about relationships. That's what I do. I like to talk to athletes about stuff other than sports a lot too. Just, you know, people are interested in that.
Yeah.
Famous Los. Do you know who Famous Los is?
No.
He is one of these Instagram guys. He's got millions of followers, but all the athletes follow them because he does the memes and jokes. So we kind of dive into that. It's a very cultural thing. And then, you know, Johnny Bananas.
Of course.
Of Johnny Bananas on a Wednesday.
From Real World Road Rules Challenge?
Yes. Johnny Bananas.
The Johnny Bananas. Multi-time champion of the Road Rules Challenge.
Of the challenge. Yeah.
Are we still doing challenges now?
Oh, they sure are. We aren't, but they are.
I was into the challenge for about 6 or 7 seasons hardcore, then probably peripheral, like another, you know, 2 or 3. And then I bailed probably 4 or 5 years ago.
Mm.
I can't believe they're still doing them. And he's still competing in them.
No,
he's like the Tom Brady.
He really is. Banana, I mean, wow. If he heard you compare him
to Tom Brady. The Vince Carter.
I think Tom Brady is fair. He's the most well-known real-world
challenge. And he's won a lot
challenge.
Of them.
He has. Yeah, he's become a friend of mine, Bananas.
Really?
Yeah. He's in my phone as a banana emoji.
Well, now we know you've made it.
Yeah, there we go. I have Johnny Bananas in my phone.
Christine Leahy is the host of Fair Game on FS1, 5:30 Eastern time, Monday through Friday, Fox Sports 1. Christine, it is awesome to have you here in studio. Anytime you're in New York, you get an open invitation.
Thank you. It's fun being here.
Yeah, this is great. When we come back here on the show, we've got your sound check, your best audio of the day, and Mraz's protege takes a shot at Mraz on the PGP, plus Tony Romo later on in the hour. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This is CBS.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
This weekend, Big 3 basketball wraps up its regular season with teams fighting for playoff positioning. And on Sunday, it's NFL preseason action, Saints and Chargers. It all happens on CBS. Speaking of, Tony Romo is going to join us for the NFL on CBS coming up in about 15 minutes from now. Thanks to Christine Leahy for joining us here on the show in studio for the last 40 minutes or so. That was really fun. Very kind of her to spend that much time with us this morning on the show. Also, Jerome Bettis is going to join us in hour number 3. Coming up, we're going to discuss Antonio Brown and another beef, this time with a chef.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
instead of total wins for the Raiders, we should count total beefs of Antonio Brown of the 2019 season, because it would be way higher than the win-loss total, the win total of the Raiders. So far already, we have not even played a regular season game. This is how efficient AB is. We've got three beefs on record. Number one, the helmet rule. Totally beefing about the helmet rule. Number two, cryotherapy. Totally beefing about cryotherapy and his frozen feet. Got burned off in that cryogenic chamber. And now number three, a chef who insists he stiffed him for nearly 40K. Three beefs, one preseason game under our belts, and AB didn't play in it. This is an amazing run AB is on in 2019. Let's get to your best audio of the day.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Here is Giants wide receiver Golden Tate, who says he got suspended for a banned substance, and it wasn't his fault. You see, what had happened was...
A few weeks after my test, went back and spoke to the doctor. Initially the doctor said it was not a banned substance. In fact, he had given it to other NFL players, which is why I kind of trusted it and kind of kept living my life. And, I was out to dinner one night with a guy who worked for me, and we started talking about another player who was getting suspended for something completely different, and just kind of a light kind of went off my head. Let me just call the doctor and make sure, just to make myself feel better. And I asked him what the active ingredient was, and then we looked it up right then and there, and sure enough, it was a banned substance.
Look, I don't applaud the NFL on many levels, but the fact that they're at a zero tolerance policy for banned substances, I think, is a good thing. I mean, we have guys that say it was a fertility drug. It wasn't my fault. I didn't know. How did that get into my system? And it's like, if we believe every one of them, then they're all going to have the same stupidity and the same type of explanations and excuses. So for Golden Tate, look, maybe you did make a mistake and you didn't know it. Maybe it was because of a fertility drug. Maybe you had tried to do all of your homework and you still got popped. But look, if it's not, if you get off, then everybody's going to use that as their excuse. You test positive, you got to take the suspension. Here's Green Bay head coach Matt LaFleur on his relationship with his quarterback.
It's been a lot of fun. I don't really get too concerned or wrapped up with that outside noise that's going on, because people are always trying to write about something and talk about something. I feel confident in our relationship, and it's growing each and every day. And my thing is, I just want to make sure we're always on the same page in terms of our communication and our interaction. And I think it's been going awesome so far. Certainly when you have a guy with his expertise, his experience playing at a high level, you're always going to value his input.
There is no head coach under more scrutiny this year than Matt LaFleur. Freddie Kitchens is a two. He's a solid two on that list. But you've got to win Super Bowls with Aaron Rodgers. Nothing less is going to be acceptable. You've got to win Super Bowl. Not the NFC North. Not get to the NFC Championship game. And Matt LaFleur and the relationship specifically, because we know Freddie Kitchens has a good relationship with Baker Mayfield. He might not end up having one with Odell, Jarvis Landry, take your pick of other guys, but we know he's going to be fine with Baker. LaFleur's got to make it work with Rodgers. And finally, Connor Green has been stepping in as executive producer here on the DA Show, and Mraz has taken vacation this summer. In fact, Connor is in today. Now, Connor was Mraz's PG profile this week on Side B, and Mraz clearly getting a little nervous about Connor being considered a great replacement for him, perhaps Wally pipping him. Note Connor's response here to a very pointed question, okay? Just listen to how Connor answers this question.
I happen to think your work ethic is sky's the limit for you. I think you're very funny. I am very nervous because, again, you're younger. You know, sometimes when you get older in this business, you got to look over your shoulder. But I will leave you with this. Just answer one question honestly. Mm-hmm. Do you believe you're better than me?
No, I don't. Definitely not on the air. On the air, I definitely think that you do a really good job.
Now is not the time to kiss my ass. I'm giving you
Sean,
all the credit.
Sean, you're the best. You're just the greatest of all time. And please don't have anybody else fill in for you when you're out.
What he didn't say, though, is deafening. Quote, definitely not on the air. Quote, definitely not on the air. Which Connor, without saying it, is saying, yeah, I have a better work ethic. Yes, I'm smarter. Yes, I'm better at the behind-the-scenes part of the job. But not on the air. You're definitely better than me on the air. But everything else that goes into, you know, producing, Connor is... rightfully so, confident that he is better than Mraz at.
And Mraz's third grade education didn't pick up on the
of course not, went right over his head. Mraz was just hoping that Connor didn't say, yeah, I'm effing better than you. It's obvious. That was the only thing he was worried about. As long as Connor didn't say that, he was like, oh, thank God. Meantime, Connor basically said, yeah, I mean, you're a functioning idiot. I'm better than you. I'm smarter than you. I'm better at this job. But on the air, you're a really funny doofus. That's essentially what he said there.
That is not at all what I said. This is taken completely out of context. I'm like Aaron Rodgers, okay? Oh. I'm tired of the gotcha journalism. I am exactly like Aaron Rodgers, and even in the sense that he plays for the Cheeseheads, and I love to eat bacon, egg, and cheeses.
Okay.
So I am exactly like Aaron Rodgers, and I'm just tired of quotes of mine getting taken out of context.
Clickbait here on the DA show. We do that very well. All right, that's your sound check. When we come back, Tony Romo from the NFL on CBS is going to join us. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Don't like something? Get it out.
Hey, good morning, DA. I've been listening to you since you were working from 2 to 6. And
the old
I'm
overnight
really
shift.
Yeah, man, I've been listening to you for years. And I always agree with you, but today you have annoyed me.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
I have a tendency to do that. Welcome inside the DA show's Thursday edition. Full episodes are available. If you missed anything or want to hear it again, simply download the DA show on radio.com, iTunes, or other places that podcasts are downloaded. Also, CBSSportsRadio.com is a place you can get it as a website. Full episodes of The DA available there. You have to love this. I mean, if you don't love this, you can't laugh about how ridiculous sports is anymore. And sports has become utterly ridiculous in many, many ways. The NFLPA is stealing STEELEING, not STEALING, for a potential lockout or strike, a work stoppage following next season. We've talked about this and heard about this many years in the making, that over the next two seasons, there could be an impasse in how the NFLPA wants its guaranteed money to go, how contracts are supposed to go, how the pie is cut up, and that there could be a strike or the owners could have a lockout. This would be the end of the 2020 season. So we've got two more football seasons to play until this. So in advance of this, which would be approximately a year and a half away, the NFLPA has issued its work stoppage guide to its constituency. These are all the players. And it's awesome. Okay, so there's... in case of work stoppage, here's what you should do. And some of this is pretty good advice. Save at least half of each paycheck. If your current expenses are too high to save this much, look at changing your spending habits. Okay, that's good financial recommendation. It also says, you know, if you're in the market for a new home, consider renting right now instead of buying. So if you're looking at like a $4 million house, you know what? You might not want to be in over your skis 18 months from now with a brand new house at $4 million and the mortgage on that. So you know what? Maybe just avoid the new house right now. Okay, that seems like a good idea. The NFLPA also suggests take care of major home repairs now. Okay, so if you're fixing your garage door or redoing the kitchen, let's do that now instead of 2 years from now when we could have a bit of a labor impasse. All right, okay, that's forward thinking. But some of the other ones are just amazing. Try cooking at home instead of eating out as much. Oh, boy. Okay, so we're going to be suggesting that Odell Beckham start learning his way around a Blue Apron box. Okay. Hey, guys, just make sure, instead of going to Cheesecake Factory like 4 out of 6 nights, you know, why don't you just mix in your own mac and cheese box, okay? Annie says a good deal right now on some white cheddar mac and cheese, okay? Designate one day a week as a no-spending day. Oh, this is a great idea. All right, we know you are blowing through thousands of dollars every single day. One day, just don't blow through $5,000. I mean, I don't know how realistic a no-spending day is. How many of us have a no-spending day where you don't spend money on anything? Like gas, tolls, lunch, even if you make dinner at home, you pay a bill. I mean, it's kind of hard to just avoid. No spending. How about find renters for your unoccupied homes or bedrooms? Oh, this is amazing. Okay, for the homes that you own that nobody lives in, the homes. Consider renting out the homes that nobody lives in. These are professional athlete problems. You guys know all those homes you have that nobody lives in? Try putting those in Airbnb or your bedrooms. Okay, so what? We're talking about Matthew Stafford has like a 7-bedroom home. He only uses 4 bedrooms. Hey, Matt, if you could just rent out the other 3 on Airbnb, just get some income, that would be great. Oh, okay. I just found this great deal at Airbnb. I get to spend the weekend at Matthew Stafford's home.
I would be the one renting.
And this is even better. Consider selling your cars that you haven't driven in the past 6 months. You know, all of us with the cars that you never drive? If you had, you know, all those cars that you have in your lots, in your garages, on your driveways that you haven't driven in 6 months or more? Imagine having cars you just don't drive for 6 months. Like, that's kind of the time you start going, oh, maybe I don't need this car. I haven't driven it in 2 years. Consider getting rid of the cars you haven't driven in 6 months or more. The NFLPA's nuclear fallout guide. Get into your bomb shelter, sell the cars you never use, and the houses that nobody lives in. Amazing. Joining us on the show is the lead analyst for the NFL on CBS. He's also, once again, part of the Corona Extra Game Day hotline this football season. Tony Romo joining us. Tony, good morning.
Morning, Damon. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
We're doing good. Getting ready for football season.
Your former team's in the middle of a million contract negotiations. Now, usually these happen singularly, like one guy is in a holdout or one guy gets a contract negotiation. But now we got 3 guys lumped into one. Does this seem to be getting away from the Cowboys in your estimation?
No, it's not getting away from them. I mean, the Joneses, Jerry and Steven, they've done this a long time. They've been through this a few times. So the thing that people have to realize sometimes is this means that they're actually evaluating talent really well. When you have this many people that you need to sign and pay, it means you've drafted or you traded, you know, in the Cooper situation. But the rest of, you know, you have Jalen Smith, a lot of other guys, and I think that comes to the forefront in my brain is like they're drafting really well. This is a good problem. Even if you couldn't keep everybody, that just means that you have done a great job of picking talent. And I think that, you know, they're in a unique position right now that they got to sign a lot of really good players. And that's a good problem to have.
Yeah, no, you're right. They have drafted really well over the last 5-6 years. And this is one of the most talented Cowboys teams in a long time. But do you think it's detrimental that it seems like Jerry keeps talking about it and it keeps it in the news cycle?
I think the reality of that situation is, if you're talking to the media, you know, it's training camp. They have a lot more access during this time. I don't think it'll be near as talked about if it happens, let's say. It'll be talked about by everybody else. But when you're a quarterback in the middle of the season, you're talking to the media, you know, once a week. When you're in training camp, you might be talking to them four or five times. And so it just gets to a point where it's just a new cycle that's going to be involved. It's in it until, you know, Zeke comes back, until that gets done. And I don't know that it hurts it or helps it either way. I think it just is what happens, and it's a big deal because it's the star running back.
Tony Romo joins us this morning on the show. I like this. You're going to be doing game day pep talks this year for those that call the Corona hotline. So if you were to give Jerry Jones a pep talk right now, what would it be?
Well, you can actually hear. I think I may have done it. You just have to call 1-844-9-CORONA and find out what my pep talk was. I think Jerry honestly has done this a million times. He has a plan in place. They have a percentage they want to give to each of these positions. And I think they had this mapped out. The surprise probably was that it happened, you know, a little bit earlier than they thought probably was Zeke, I'm guessing there. And but they usually have these things, a plan in place for all this.
Can I ask you about the Peyton Manning comment where he said he heard that you said you always wanted to be a broadcaster and that he said, well, I always wanted to be a quarterback. Many people interpreted that as a shot at you and maybe your commitment at being a quarterback. You said that you had never said that. Have you and Peyton spoken since this?
Oh, yeah, me and Peyton are friends. Like, that's part of just what happens when you play quarterback forever in the NFL. Like, eventually they're going to find something to throw out there. But I know who Peyton is. There's nothing there. It's just tough for you guys to ask on questions like this. Fun for you, though.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, and for him to take what is a perceived shot at your commitment at quarterback that's kind of a notable quote, isn't it, if that's what he meant?
Well, I think that's what I'm saying, is like, sometimes what's perceived to be a shot isn't always a shot. I don't think Peyton's meaning it to be that way. I think he was just saying, you know, as far as him getting into broadcasting, he was talking about that, and he's like, you know, I didn't know. And like anything, it just, stuff can come across a certain way, and then you're like, well, that was not the intention of it. But I know who Peyton is. There's no malice there or anything.
As an analyst, you work with one of the greats in the business in Jim Nance, and you are so excitable and enthusiastic, and people really love that. But sometimes I'm sure you have to navigate his call and make sure you're not stepping on him, talking over him. Has that been something you've had to learn how to navigate and maybe sometimes pull back because you're so enthusiastic on?
Oh, no. Me and Jim, you know, we're really close, and he's so good at his job. I could let him call the entire game, and it would be easy. It would be probably the best broadcast we could do. But, you know, I'm in there, and we both have a great time. So I think, you know, when I took this job, a big reason of that was because Jim Nance, you know, was going to be my partner. And, you know, I feel even more lucky now that I've had him since I've been broadcasting.
Yeah, he's amazing. So you don't worry about stepping on his calls then?
We don't. Me and Jim just have a great time there. We're far, like, less territorial, I think, than people. Like, I don't know how other people do it, but for us, it's, you know, he could go on for 14 minutes, and if we're laughing and watching the game and it's flowing, we go. It's not a selfish motive there. We just want to do a good broadcast and really enjoy it and teach the viewership and come across as well as we can. And so there is no rules when it comes to things like that. Me and Jim just enjoy it and we go talk.
How is it at all frustrating when people ask you about your contract negotiations with CBS? I saw that you said, hey, I'm going to Bill Belichick this bad boy, but I'm sure you're going to get questions throughout the season on it. Is that at all aggravating?
No, I don't talk about contract stuff. I think that's the easiest way. You should always do this. You know, it's just part of what you do and makes it easier for everybody.
We're on to Cincinnati. Yeah. Tony Romo joins us this morning on the show. Now, Tony's going to be taking part of the Corona Extra Game Day Hotline again this football season. He's got pep talks coming. You just got to call 1-844-9-CORONA. So what's going to be your game day routine getting these pep talks?
Well, I'm like everybody else. I'm a fan of football. So if I get – usually if you can get me sitting around watching the games whenever I'm off or on Thursday or Monday night or something watching, I'll usually just grab a Corona, hang out, and maybe I'll even call on the hotline and see what kind of silliness I came up with.
Coronas are the perfect summer beer, and then you just roll that right into fall football season, right?
That's perfect. Good call. Nice job, David.
Tony Romo joining us this morning on the show. Tony, thanks so much, man. Good stuff. Have a great call this season. We'll be listening and watching.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Devin.
Okay. Tony Romo joining us this morning on the show. So I'd like Tony to give Mraz a pep talk and let him know that Connor's coming for the job. Connor did not say, I'm smarter than you. I'm better than you. But he did say, no, I'm not better on the air, specifically on the air.
And to note, he's not bad on the air.
No, not at all. I think he's very good on the air.
Would you say I'm better on the air than Mraz?
No, I would not. No, I think Mraz is really funny and really quick and a really great on-air personality. But I think notably, you're a better producer behind the scenes, and it's taken you approximately 6 minutes to get there. When we come back, who's angrier at AB, John Gruden or the chef? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.